Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. If you guys can hear me, please let me know. I do have Bill on the line because I'm not sure if he can get in. I'm your host, Linda, coming at you from Oceanside, California, about 71 degrees. It is beautiful. A little breezy, but wonderful. If you can hear, please let me know. Are you still there, Mr. Strong?
I'm still here.
Yay. They're all refreshing. I don't know what's going on. I called Blog Talk today. I did not get any answers from them, and I called them around 1 o'clock this afternoon, so I don't know what's going on.
We tried talking to them today. I didn't get nothing, but I'm gathering that we may have to have Ron switch it from Patriot Family's site to Facebook, and that way that may open it up. I'm not sure, but I think I can tell that's the only thing I could get on my looking.
Okay,
and
so here's the deal.
I got nothing from Blog Talk.
Yeah, I didn't get anything either. Yola says sound is good today. Mikey B said he's got good sound, so that's great. Anyway, so they've got something about Cal Living says found out that if you click that pop out icon, it gives you a copy and paste code with a window. Click that window to get a secondary audio. So, okay. And Mikey just had to refresh, so I don't know. We'll see what's going on. Anyway, it's been pretty frustrating. So we're going to do what we can do. The things that I'm going to go over today. Go ahead. What were you saying?
We're all stupid.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yola says, yes, I know, that's right, Bill. Ron has to change it to your name or one of ours anyway. Okay, so I don't know what we can do about that. That's just not cool. So, yeah, I don't know why all that happened, because I know, gosh, I think it was, yeah. Yeah, that's true. He's got, inside there. I don't know how to change it. I have no idea how to do all that stuff. So I'm not savvy with Blog Talk or the others. No, Mike. Yeah, he's pretty much dropped out of sight. So I've sent him a nice email. Haven't heard anything back, so I don't know what's going on. And Yola said, I told him that it had to be done when he first talked to me, but then Yola hasn't heard anything either. So okay, so let me kind of backtrack here. There's there's so much going on. I've got newspaper articles. I got to go through at least some of them. On all this climate change, and I'm sure you guys know about, you know, Barry, the little fairy that went over to China, who laughs behind his back all the time. Anyway, with his climate summit with them, talking about greenhouse gas emissions, I just want to strangle these people. So, okay, so we lost Cal Living, but anyway, we'll get people. If people have trouble when Cal gets back in, if possible, I can say, please call in. That way you can be part of the show. I don't know whether they're having trouble. Anyway, so there's just all this stuff. Even my local papers, it says all these mayors, and I think it was across in San Diego, it says they're differing on fighting climate change, but they all agree that they have to fight it. See, this is just the problem. And then there's this this idiot who San Diego worked with the Sierra Club to preserve state's backcountry. Another this one will make curl your hair. And then I have a couple editorials from real libtards that you got to hear from my neck of the woods. And then that one we talked about, wish we could get Cal back, talked about yesterday. I have the article, so I'm going to go through it. It's called I hope Cal can hear. If not, you can call in like Bill's doing at 646-378-0321. This headline was Prediction Crime Wave Coming, and that's all about these Proposition 47, and I'll get into that in a second. So thank you for joining. I hope you can still hear Mikey, Yo, Cal, and Bill. So, yes, they want us to look like North Korea, Mikey. I know exactly what they're doing. It's Agenda 21. Okay, so hopefully Cal can hear, because people in the chat room couldn't hear yesterday. Anyway, this one is from last week's church that I attended, and this is a reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Just some music of hope. Okay, so my mic's not working, or is it Bill's phone? Because I can't tell. I'm trying to hold this still and pull back from the speakers. It could be, are you on a, you're on a cell phone. So, okay,
yep.
It might be that. And I got in with Skype, so, yeah, because
I'm in the same place it is every time we talk.
Okay. All right. Maybe, yeah, could be mine. I'm trying to keep this thing really still, so I'll hold it and try to back away from all the speakers. I've turned them down. Okay, so it could be your phone or mine. I'm not, or my Skype. I'm not sure. That happens when Robert calls too. But anyway, so here's, let me go to this one before I get into these articles. This one was from, it's a place called, it's called CFACT, Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, and these guys expose the climate change hoax as best that they can. It says, Chinese gain, American pain. With the elections over, the Obama administration is going all in on climate. On election day, the president suffered a major vote of no confidence in his policies. What better way to seek cover than a pivot to the heavily propagandized, hard-to-verify, holier-than-thou word of climate politics? The White House memo on the deal states that this new agreement calls for the United States to reduce its emissions by 26 to 28% below 2005 levels by 2025. Oh, I love those dates. Don't you love those dates? While China's emissions would be permitted to peak by around 2030, with the intention to try to peak early and to increase the share of non-fossil fuel share of all energy to around 20% by 2030. Yeah, 2030 and 2050 are the Agenda 21 dates. In effect, the U.S. agreed to reduce CO2 emissions now while China can go on expanding until 2030. Of course, as Senator Inhofe pointed out, China is currently opening a new coal plant every 10 days. And we're closing ours down like crazy. Does anyone really think that expanding the Chinese economy while contracting the U.S. economy will have a meaningful impact on world temperature? Ironically, this agreement comes at a time when Antarctic ice is at record levels, polar bears are increasing in numbers, and global temperatures haven't risen in 18-plus years. The climate computer models on which the entire global warming scare depends on have yet to be right. China is playing Obama for the fool. I will do what is best to obtain competitive advantage for China and is only too delighted to watch the free world raise its cost of production. The main effect of deals such as this is to shift manufacturing overseas to countries like China and India, who will gladly produce for us and emit CO2 for us. So that's just one of the little deals on this situation. That we've come.
You know what they've left out of that, Linda? You know what they always leave out?
What are they leaving?
That Obama future investments are in carbon exchanges, and without the global carbon tax without it being able to push this false global warming deal.
Right.
If that falls through, there goes his retirement. There goes his future. If it passes, if he can somehow get a global carbon tax passed, this man will make $1 billion the first day.
Well, he and the rest of them. I know Al Gore is in line, too. Okay, the next one on climate change was absolutely crazy. It says, mayors from across the San Diego region offer different perspectives Thursday on how aggressively cities should fight climate change. This tells you right here that these guys are already falling for the Kool-Aid. Speaking at a downtown luncheon, San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, who, by the way, hides behind that little R behind his name, touted a bold plan he unveiled last month to create new regulations and incentives that are expected to cut the city's carbon emissions in half by 2035. And he, quoting, "It's the right thing to do," said Faulkner, noting that his climate action plan has bipartisan support. Well, in a blue state, of course it would. El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells and National City Mayor Ron Morrison were less enthusiastic about such aggressive action. Quoting, "This is a massive undertaking to switch to all renewable energy." This people are crazy, said Wells, who represented East County cities. It was a four-member panel of mayors that included Jim Desmond of San Marcos. And so I'm going to try to get some more of this. I don't think it's too long, but there's a lot of this stuff going on in my area because they will drive you crazy. And it goes. So the officials expressed support for additional desalinization plants in the region. See, somebody's going to get rich off this, as you said, Bill, because these desal plants are going to make all of our energy costs skyrocket, especially water, which we're already in a desert and they've got a drought, plus they're pumping fresh water into the San Francisco Bay. It's just awful. Okay, so it says they want to do it in a way that doesn't damage the lives of citizens or damage the ability to run a business. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen, you stupid morons. Okay, so here's another one. It says Morrison, who was representing South County cities, said the sharply increased commuting by bicycle and mass transit envisioned in plans like Faulkner's, that's the new so-called Republican rhino mayor of San Diego, will be hard to accomplish, noting that more miles are being driven by cars in San Diego than ever before. Well, you think? He also predicted many drivers switching to electric cars would jeopardize local roads by shrinking gas. Can't have it all. Gas revenues that pay for road construction.
And those electric cars, how do you plug them in and charge them?
Yeah, I know, with no coal-fired plants. Cal says, expect San Diego business to head for Yuma. Well, they've already gone to Texas. There's so many going to Arizona. They're going all over the place. They're going to Nevada. They're bailing. The other topic debated, it says that, they were talking about the Charger Stadium, all this stuff. So stupid. It says, if it's a plan that makes sense and protects taxpayers, you'll see public support. If it isn't, you won't. Well, some of us are out here really are too stupid to figure it out. The other mayor said their willingness to provide money would depend on the plan. It says, if we're going to do this regional sharing of funding, there's going to need to be regional sharing of revenues. Oh, God. San Marcos mayor, representing North County, said it was especially important to protect taxpayers when they are subsidizing the wealthy owners of sports teams. So they're talking about the other part. Okay, so that's the end of that. They're going into the other aspects of the meetings. And then I can't even, what's his name? Let's see what this guy, his name is. They'll give his name in a minute. I think last name's Urban. He's named Nick Urban of San Diego. So talking about, it says, activist reflects on 20 years of Desert Protection Act. Right there, it's got to tell you something. This particular person worked with the Sierra Club to preserve the state's backcountry. You'll understand in a minute. He's another one of these schmandricks. 20 years ago today, the California Desert Protection Act designated seven 6.6 million acres of the state's backcountry as wilderness. Oh, boy. Does that sound like that UN Agenda 21? Does to me.
Well,
portions of that.
We just had another state set aside over a million acres for grouse.
Oh, I know. I know. Okay,
so
portions of that.
Force the people into the cities where you can control their movements, who they talk to, everything.
That's, right.
Control
portions,
the water, control the food, control the people.
And I know. Oh, and don't forget.
I agree with that guy. The American people is ignorant.
Don't forget, you got to control. You got
to
control how they travel too.
What's going on?
Oh, I know. That's why we do what we do. I'm just praying that we can keep the radio shows going. I have to figure out how to better this whole deal. But anyway. So the portions of the land had been mined, grazed, and used illegally for off-roading, they say. For the desert lovers such as Nick Urban of San Diego, California's deserts represented a wide-open expanse of solitude and stillness just hours from the state's biggest cities. After surveying what he saw as damage to them from human activities, oh, here you go, he found a chance for restoration. Irvin joined fellow Sierra Club activists to spearhead San Diego County support for the Desert Protection Act, first introduced by then-Senator Alan Cranston, oh boy, and shepherded through Congress by none other than Senator Dianne Frankenfeinstein. The legislation that established the 1.6 million acre, let's find the rest of it here. Here we are. I'll find it in a second. Sorry, guys. I just didn't get to the right page. And anyway, the Sierra Club, here it is. It says the landmark legislation established the Mojave National Preserve. So that's a pretty good-sized desert. The Mojave National Preserve and designated Death Valley and Joshua Tree as national parks. It also set aside wilderness smaller tracts in San Diego and Imperial counties, including the Fish Creek, Coyote, and Sawtooth Mountains near Anza Borrego Desert State Park. The bill faced opposition from people who feared it would engulf private land, really, ban visitors from wilderness areas, oh yeah, that's their plan, and forbid popular activities such as hunting and off-roading. The debate escalated into scuffles at times, this idiot remembered. In the end, the law didn't secure the pure, unaltered wilderness that some proponents sought. Certain mining and grazing operations were grandfathered in, and hunting continues in the Mojave National Preserve. Motor vehicles aren't allowed into wilderness zones. Isn't that nice? I'm telling you, they're going to ban areas from human use. But adjoining land and some roads that traverse the protected acreage are still open to traffic. That includes off-road vehicles, said Paul Turk, an attorney who has represented off-road enthusiasts nationwide. Litigation over the desert access remains to this day. The legislation became law, this is going back to October of 1994, when President Bill Clinton gave his signature. Gee, I wonder why. For the 20th anniversary milestone, Irvin, a retired psychotherapist, there you go, who now teaches at National University, talked with UT San Diego, this is the newspaper, about his efforts to preserve the state's open spaces. That's another one that Agenda 21 uses all the time, open space. Here is an edited version of that discussion. Question, how did you get involved in the campaign to pass the California Desert Protection Act? Answer, I was active in the local chapter of Sierra Club in the late 70s and early 80s. Some big conservation activists in Los Angeles gathered information and then approached Senator Alan Cranston about sponsoring a bill in Congress to rectify the big problems with how the desert was being run over by off-road vehicles, reckless mining, reckless grazing, and uncontrolled, listen to these words, urban development around desert cities. They said we need organizers in San Diego and Imperial counties. Just to editorialize on this, guys, listen to what they're saying. They're being overrun by off-road vehicles, reckless mining, as though we didn't have any ridiculous California regulations back then? What a crock. Oh, my God. So the question is, next one, what was your particular role? Answer, I and two other organizers followed the bill from 1988 to 1994. We wrote articles. We did letter writing campaigns, old-fashioned slideshows, PowerPoint in those days. No, it wasn't PowerPoint. I did garden clubs, classroom presentations, and wrote op-eds. The next question, what were the challenges to securing support for desert protection? Answer, there was a belief that it is an empty waste where there's not much life, or it's a fearful place with rattlesnakes and scorpions. It's a harder sell to the general public than forests or lakes. What a schmuck. Question, why did you believe the cause was important? Answer, I had been hiking in the desert for years and years and had seen how outside of Anza Borrego Desert State Park there were lots and lots of off-road activities. Desert foliage is very slow to heal and very fragile. You can do hundreds of years worth of damage in an afternoon with an off-road vehicle that is poorly used. So he wants to be a little fascist and force others to not have fun. Question, what does the act mean for San Diegans? Answer, it means that a lot of the desert lands around Anza Borrego Park have the highest official protection status that you can give any land in perpetuity. It would require an act of Congress to reverse the Desert Protection Act. Well, isn't that nice of him? Question, what were your responses to critics who said the law imposes restrictions on too much land? His answer is, there were meetings in the late 80s that were big-time contentions. There was actually some pushing and shoving going on. I personally got hate mail. They were typically centered around one accusation that we are locking up desert land against the average citizen, which you are. The old stereotype was we were watermelons. I'm going to love this because that's exactly what we call these guys. Green on the outside and red on the inside. He, going on quoting him, people said it was a communist plot, socialism in action in the California desert. Well, Mr. Irvin, it is. Question. What, yeah, exactly right. What were the eventual accommodations for existing uses such as wildlife management, hunting, and grazing? His answer was, one of the big concessions was the Mojave National Preserve. Instead of it becoming a national park, there were several concessions that hunting would be permanently allowed. Back then, there were people doing grazing on federal lands under a lease who were really afraid of losing their grazing rights. Frankenstein said, we will never force you to sell grazing rights. That was a pretty big concession. There's always been a big debate about guzzlers, artificial water sources built to aid wildlife. The Desert Protection Act doesn't really address what guzzlers should be allowed and where, and that debate goes on. The last question, what do you think about the status of the California desert today and the role of energy developments such as solar and wind farms? Oh, my God. His answer is, as preservationists, we've been torn because as preservationists, we support renewable energy. But some of us on the desert land issue object to some of these developments because the government is sometimes allowing them on lands that are not already burned out agricultural lands or toxic waste sites and brownfields. They've allowed some of these developments on pristine, high-quality desert habitat and not next to existing power lines. We are also arguing for more rooftop development in cities, of course, for their solar panels. Where the energy is used, renewable energy, and where it is to be sited is the argument for decades ahead. This is the kind of idiots we have here. This is what I'm up against. And then I have two more. You guys are not going to believe this. Okay, this one was, this is what I have in California. This is actually my neighboring city called Carlsbad. Obviously, a Barry supporter. His headline is, Nation is better off than it was in 2009. Really? And then he says, are Americans better off now than when President Obama took office in 2009? Yes, for the following reasons. This is his editorial. One, his quick and aggressive stimulation of the U.S. economy prevented a major worldwide 1930s-like economic depression. Wow. I don't know how to even start with that one. Two, the U.S. unemployment rate has dropped from 10% to below 6% because nobody's counted. Number three, the U.S. stock and housing markets, which crashed in 2008, are booming once again. They're about to crash again, buddy. Number four, his passage and implementation of his sponsored Affordable Care Act has provided access to affordable Medicare insurance to 40 million Americans. Now, where did he get that number? Oh, yeah, he quoted Barry, which the whole thing's a lie. It's just, and it's not affordable, except for the ones who are getting it for free. He sponsored and implemented the withdrawal of American troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. Obama haters, okay, listen to the last sentence. Obama haters refuse to acknowledge his accomplishments by following their mantra, "Don't confuse me with the facts." This is from some idiot in Carlsbad. Okay. This is what I, every day, I go through the paper. I'm not kidding. I could have done 10 more, but I didn't want to. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, this is the problem we have with media, where media gets out there and they're not the journalists. They're not objective journalists anymore. They're propaganda.
Oh, no.
And they get out they lie. It's 8 million people were added to health care that didn't
have
it, not 40. And of that 8, of the rest of the people have seen their out-of-pocket expenses skyrocket, and you're getting ready to see another increase in the cost of health care that they put off till after the election.
Well, here's... Right, so...
You just name can be contradicted with facts and statistics that just won't back him up.
I know. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, this clown, that was the worst part of the whole article, or his editorial, talking about confusing with facts, and this guy's just speaking out of, you know, he's just parroting what he hears from, you know, the one.
The idiots in China promoting global warming. And most of the media is saying, oh, look, we've got an early winter, snow, cold temperatures and stuff. Where's the warming?
Well, it's a hoax.
Where has this warming they've been screaming about the last 20 years? Where the hell is it?
Yeah, 18 plus. It's not changed by much. Okay, here's the one. It was we just had that election, and these morons in California passed Proposition 47. So here's the deal. It says, here's an unfortunate but realistic prediction. 6 months from now, a year at most, Californians will look at a troubling new wave of crime and ask, what happened? Here's what happened. Last week's voter approval of Proposition 47, on top of Governor Jerry Brown's prison realignment program approved by the legislature in 2011. Together, these two public policies will be responsible for the early release of thousands of criminals now behind prison bars, including some serving life sentences under the three strikes law. Thousands more who commit new crimes and who would have faced prison or jail time before Prop 47 will now continue to walk the streets. Many of these people will be drug offenders, prosecutors who previously could hold the threat of incarceration over the head of drug abusers as a tool to force them into treatment will no longer have that tool available. Many more drug abusers who want to get into already crowded treatment programs will find it even more difficult to find a program that can take them. Prop 47 was the well-intentioned idea of former San Diego Police Chief Bill Lansdowne and San Francisco District Attorney George Gascon. Their argument was that criminals convicted of certain nonviolent offenses, particularly drug crimes, belong in treatment programs, not prison. To achieve that, Prop 7 reduced six categories of nonviolent crimes from a felony to a misdemeanor. It provides that criminals now in prison for such crimes can petition for immediate release. Oh, God. And it says that saving stemming from the reduced state prison population, an estimated 100 million to 200 million a year, must be divvied up among mental health and drug abuse programs, school truancy and dropout programs, and the state crime victims compensation fund. Sadly, there are many ways that the specifics of the initiative fail at its good intentions. of perhaps most concern is the provision that automatically recategorizes the theft of a gun worth less than $950 from a felony to a misdemeanor. As current San Diego Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman says, nearly all handguns retail for less than $950. Most people don't steal guns so they can add to their gun collection. They steal guns to commit another crime. The simple possession of date rape drugs, previously a felony, is now a misdemeanor, potentially undermining laws combating sexual violence. The money earmarked for mental health and drug treatment programs will not materialize for probably a year, and when it does show up, it will be a relative pittance for a state the size of California. Besides, Prop 7 does not mandate that drug abusers even seek treatment. Addicts who cannot get or do not want treatment tend to commit more crimes to get more money to buy more drugs. Police and prosecutors throughout the state are said to be busily trying to figure out how to deal with Prop 47. Wish them luck. Idiots. You see what I deal with?
I have a question. The first time one of these people released goes into another state and commits a violent crime, can Jerry Brown be held liable?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think it
be held liable.
I don't know, but I think it won't matter because they'll be in jail because the other states don't have stupid laws.
Situation. I would still say you released this guy. You shouldn't have. He came to our state. He committed a crime. You're going to pay for his incarceration.
Well, the other thing about this article that they don't mention, of course, because we're in Libtardia here, they don't mention that they don't understand. I don't think they realize, you know, I know that there's a lot of people out here that I see articles after articles after articles in other states, not just here, where all these home invasions are happening. And I'm like, why aren't these people at least have really good alarm systems? And why don't they have at least one gun to protect their families? I don't understand it. I know they do in Texas, but I mean, I just don't understand it, because what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of dead ex-criminals, you know, on people's doorsteps because they're going to be committing these crimes. Anybody who can protect their families are going to protect their families. They better figure out what the hell the American public is made out of. They're just – what they're doing, Bill, is they're creating more havoc and more crap than they need. They do it every day. This is what you get when you get morons running the government. Absolute morons. And I mean, it just it boggles the mind. Go ahead, and I'm going to go find some more of these really, really good things that I got. Oh, this was really one of my favorite ones. I'm going to read this one. This is an article written. It says, and I can't remember who. I have to look at it. It says, "Is the man in the White House mentally ill?" I think I said a lot of people, but I just want to go through it. It talks about his narcissism, and it also talks about sociopaths, and I believe he's one. It says, if I can get this thing to come up real quick, and it won't because I have one of those ads coming in. It says, of course I can't do it because it won't let me. It says, "I'm not asking this with my tongue in my cheek. I am as serious as a judge. As I sit here and write, I am listening to Mr. Obama's press conference. Something is very wrong with this guy. He is either mentally ill or demon-possessed. Probably both. Either choice is a possibility, but something is definitely wrong with him. He seems somehow inhuman. I have lived my entire life in a world of athletic competition. I understand the human emotion that is associated with winning and losing." And this is the recent election. "I grew up with the opening theme of ABC's Wide World Sports continuously playing in my head. If I close my eyes, I can hear the voice of Jim McKay bouncing around the corners of my brain. Quote, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, the human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports." End quote. "The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat brings with it emotions. That is why we watch sports. We love the human drama of athletic competition. That's why we have press conferences after games. We love to hear the emotional reaction to winning and losing. President Obama is a hollow man. He has no feelings. He has no emotions. Or he feels no emotions. The human drama of competition seems to have no outward effect on him. Can I be blunt? he got his butt kicked. Every talking head on the tube is pointing the finger at his unpopularity. The bloom is off the rose. It's a direct repudiation of his policies. The era of Obama is over. It is as if everyone knows it but him. Politics is nothing more than a beauty contest, and Obama has been voted off of the island. But he reacts as if he still owns the island. There seems to be no agony in his defeat. It's not normal. His emotions do not line up with reality. He is either sick or he is possessed. I'm not laughing. I'm serious. His party rejected him. Yeah, the American people.
He's still demanding that he gets his way no matter what.
I know. The American people rejected him. His fawning media has turned off their affections in a different direction, or turned their affections in a different direction, yet he shows no emotion. I watch him on the TV. I watch him in his press conference. I watch his eyes as he responds to the media's questions. I believe he is a sick, dangerous man. Oh, honey, I knew that a long time ago. I Googled the word sociopath, a person with a psychopathic personality whose behavior is antisocial, often criminal, and who lacks a sense of moral responsibility or social conscience. Yeah, that pretty much nails him. Bingo, that's him.
I've always said he had optical rectitis.
That too. That's the guy living the life of the President of the United States. I went a bit further and Googled characteristics of a sociopath. Then he asks us to read it for ourselves. Permit me to summarize. You recognize his mental illness by these traits: an oversized ego, lying and showing manipulative behavior, incapable of showing empathy, lack of shame or remorse, staying eerily calm in dangerous situations, behaving irresponsibly or with extreme impulsivity, having few close friends, being charming but only superficially, living by the pleasure principle, showing disregard for social norms, having intense eyes. This man is either sick or non-human. He does not react like a normal human being. Consider this from the article: sociopaths can be very charismatic and friendly because they know it will help them get what they want. They are expert con artists and always have a secret agenda. People are so amazed when they find that someone is a sociopath because they're so amazingly effective at blending in. They're masters of disguise. Their main tool to keep them from being discovered is a creation of an outer personality. As Emmy Thomas described in a post for Psychology Today, you would like me if you met me. I have the kind of smile that is common among television show characters and rare in real life, perfect in its sparkly teeth dimensions and ability to express pleasant invitation. Reading that gives me the willies. How about you? No emotions, cold, calculating. He doesn't even know that he lost. He is unaware that he has been rejected. He acts as if it is business as usual, while the entire Democrat Party is wishing for a moving van out in front of the White House. In my coaching career, I lost a lot of games. I know how it feels. I know how it makes you react. He has destroyed his party. His friends are running for cover, but he acts as if he just won. Sociopaths are dangerous. Some famous sociopaths in recent history include Charles Manson, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and John Wayne Gacy. You laugh at me, perhaps. You ridicule what I say because I compare him to serial killers. Go ahead, laugh. He displays all of the characteristics of the above-mentioned goons. They were charismatic and likable. What kind of man plays golf after a young man's head is chopped off? What kind of man disappears for hours while some of his employees are being killed overseas? What kind of man permits a deadly disease to be freely introduced into a society? What kind of man acts as if he won when the whole world watched him lose? What kind of man believes his own lies? President Obama is either sick or demon-possessed. Red flags are everywhere we look. Will his own party stop him? Will anyone stop him? President Obama is a sick, dangerous man. I just thought someone needed to point that out. So that was that particular article. I just wanted you guys to hear that one.
It's so very true. And
well, yeah,
the bad part is we have a bunch of other sociopaths sitting in our Congress and Senate.
Oh, sure.
Go right along with him.
But you know what? They lost too, Bill. And that's why they're not saying anything. That you don't see up Chuck Schumer. You know, he's slithering about away with this.
Wait till he forces this amnesty through, and blacks wake up to what he just done to them.
Well, you know what, Bill?
Because we've been a lower percentage of the population. He just took away opportunities for education and jobs from them. To give it to people who entered the country against the laws. And he helped, aided and abetted them in breaking those laws.
Right. The other. Okay, look, I don't know if you guys had seen or heard. I know that Ted Cruz, you know, I mean, a lot of people laugh about these things because we don't know what they're going to do. But it was Ted and Jeff Sessions. I know. Anyway, so let me think. Oh, gosh. They have vowed, I think it's Sessions and Mike Lee, I know Mike Lee's in on this too, and a few others, that if he tries this, they will try to stop him. They'll do everything they can to stop him, but I don't know. Yeah, Mikey says, New World Order is satanic, nothing new. Absolutely, I get that. I mean, but this one, that's why he was put in as the nominee in 2008. They made the witch riding her broom, Hildebeest, make her way to 2016. And I mean, I don't know which one's worse, but welcome, Army Girl, to the show. Go ahead.
Have you noticed that they're trying to push like a Clinton Bush run at us?
Of course. Of course they are.
And who were the big promoters of Agenda 21? The Bushes and the Clintons. Isn't that amazing? So I'm telling anyone, if you vote for Hillary or you vote for Jeb, you're voting for Agenda 21.
Oh yeah, it's and Common Core. Let me see if I can find this thing. It's gotta find this one. Ron Carling. I'm just trying to find that one that was really good. I was looking billionaires by gun control in Washington's. Here it is. Common Core co-author admits he wrote curriculum to end white privilege. I don't know if you guys knew about this one, but this is a big big deal. My sister was actually talking about this today when she was here because she went to one of these ladies meetings where they kind of gamble. It's not like bingo, but anyway, long and the short was this person who was in this room was a teacher, and one of the ladies, the majority of the women, not the teacher, were conservative or whatever you call, you know, people who are for freedom, asked this teacher point blank, what do you think of Common Core? And this woman, a teacher, said, oh, I just think it's fantastic for our children. And so Karen said the looks on the faces of these other ladies who were conservative was just horrifying. And it was like an audible gasp. And I said, yeah, if you can get it from Jenny, when you guys both have time to watch it together or whatever, get that DVD that I've loaned to her by Dr. Pesta, who absolutely explains it, and also he can tie that into Agenda 21. Anyway, it says, this article says, Common Core co-author admits he wrote curriculum to end white privilege. These people are completely crazy. According to Onan Coca, Dr. David Pook is a professor at Granite State College in Manchester, New Hampshire. He is also the chair of the history department and one of the authors of the Common Core Standards. He was a guest at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics when he opened up on his reasons for participating in the creation of the Common Core Standards. So what were his reasons? You are about to learn the motivation behind Common Core through one of its authors. The truth is, not surprisingly to some, that Common Core is very racist and very political. According to Dr. Pook, he helped write it to balance the scales because he and many others are benefiting from some mythical white privilege that was not earned. No, it's not about uniform and effective educational standards that benefit our children. This is about a leftist agenda and yet another shining example of the train wreck called political correctness. In the video, I'm not going to play it because it won't come through. Anyway, I'm going to quote it. The reason why I helped write the standards and the reason why I am here today is that as a white male in society, I am given a lot of privilege that I didn't earn. How much gobbledygook is this nonsense? Jason DeWitt of Top Right News notes, Pook's role is documented at the pro-Common Core website, achievethecore.com, which confirms that he worked closely with Susan Pimentel and the Council of Chief State Officers in drafting the core standards for English language arts, and currently has several projects underway with student achievement partners on work aligned with the Common Core standards. Ironically, as Campus Reform notes, the Derryfield School, where Polk works, does not use the Common Core state standards and has a student body that is 91% white. Common Core is not only about irrational and bizarre math problems, as some might think. Make no mistake, this program is about indoctrinating our children into a leftist way of thinking, which includes destructive ideas such as the embracing of Islam and normalizing sexual promiscuity. Is it any wonder that states are rejecting and suing the federal government over Common Core? Common Core is just another weapon in the leftist war on our children. So that's the one that was also interesting. This guy is a complete, I mean, you should see him. It's bizarre. So what did you want to add to that? And thanks, Doc, for joining us, everybody that's here. What did you think of that one?
I think I've known from the beginning that Common Core was part of the Agenda 21 and part of indoctrinating our children and part of dumbing down our children to where they're accepting of the liberal ideologies and ignorant of other ideologies. Like it says, it promotes Islam and it attacks Christianity. It distorts true history.
Right.
It is a social tool being used against our children.
Well, you know, the other interesting thing that happened too, which was just before the election, of course, that kind of got buried by the news media, and naturally nobody talked about it. But there was one person who talked about it today, and that was Mike Slater on his show earlier this morning. So he played the clip of Barry. I don't know where he was speaking. You know, he speaks all the time, and most of us can't stand the sound of his voice or any of it. And he was talking about pushing this Hitler Youth type agenda that he's wanted for a long time. And he's saying stuff like, well, look at all these women in the workforce, and they drop out because they have to stay home with their children, and that's not a choice we want the American people to make. And he says, so let's get 6 million children enrolled in preschool, early preschool, so that they can go back to the workforce, and then they won't lose out, and then they won't be out of the workforce for so long that they can never catch up to their male counterparts in earning more money. I mean, this is
From a guy whose administration pays males more than females.
Well, not only that. Well, hypocrites, the hypocritical stuff and the lies that come out of his mouth. But listen to the truth that comes out, Bill. When he talks like a fascist and says, I don't think that's a choice that the American people should make on their own. Can you handle that? I mean, oh my God. And then he's doing his little Stalin and Hitler's youth program. Let's enroll, you know, just for openers, the 6 million kids, you know. So in other words, we're going to force you or try to force you to go back to the workforce whether you want to or not. I mean, it's nuts. And he's going to have these programs where it's going to be paid for by the taxpayers. You watch. Babysitting these kids and indoctrinating. You watch.
We had a guy running for office here who wanted to do away with our charter school system and put it all in the public schools. But he's supported by unions and all this. He got slaughtered in the elections.
Yeah, and you know, Mikey was talking earlier in the chat room talking about Barry when I mentioned Hildebeest. And that I guess he typed that one in again for me. Something about, oh yeah, Obama was taped after both he and Hildebeest went to the Bilderberg group meeting. Yeah, I'm sure that they were. I don't know what, I'm sure that Hillary wasn't talking too much. She was probably not a happy camper, but she was told, you know, literally, oh, in other words, tapped. Okay, to be pressed. Right, absolutely. I'm reading it wrong. Sorry. It's been a long day. So, and I'm just drinking water. That's all I got today. So, anyway, it's been a long one because I got up early and helped my mom. So that's true. That yeah, she was Mike. She was told, and he was told, and so he was the one that they wanted. And now, as Bill was mentioning, talking about idiot Hillary and that stupid Common Core Jeb Bush, who just makes, I mean, I can't understand it. Are they trying to keep people from going to the polls at all? I mean, maybe that's their, they just want the, you know, the ones they pander to go. Maybe that's what they're doing. It's just sick. But I'll tell you, we better get a decent candidate this time. Better get one.
Well,
and I know that vote.
With the establishment Republicans like they are, and I go back to how they did Ron Paul at the convention.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was another way.
30 underhanded ways. You got Mitch McConnell and these people, and they're all Agenda 21 promoters. The only way you're going to ever get an honest elected is we've got to see they're invested in, when they got the investment, what office they held, and that would lead us to blocking them from doing insider investing, which is supposed to be against the law. But like immigration laws, there's no enforcement.
Right. So anyway, I saw this article today, and of course I can't find it. Was talking exactly about, and I know I sent it. Hopefully it's in there. I'm going to try to find it. It was about, I think I sent it to you, and I know I sent it to a couple others. Let me see if I can get it. Nope. Don't think so. I guess I probably deleted it. But it was exactly what Ron had said about, you know, that the elections are just bogus. It does not matter. With the monetary system we have, it's just, you're going to get the same. This is not going to change. Not going to change. If this last election is not going to change one little bit. And I kind of think that they're correct, because it was like listening to one of Ron's old shows. I mean, along with Frank Winkle, it was exactly the same.
You know, every time they come out and say, well, we've cut into the deficit, then they want to spend more money.
They lie. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Well, how much money is he asking to fight ISIS? How much money is he asking to fight Ebola? How much money is he asking for other programs and stuff of his ideology?
Tons.
How much money is he going to cost us with an amnesty?
Oh, my God. It's awful. No, it's part of...
We'll take Mexico over.
It sure would. Yeah, let's do that. Oh, God. That's what we don't need.
It would be a benefit to the Mexican people.
Yeah, well, I don't know, since they'd have to live under socialism like you and I do right now. I'm getting so tired of it, because everything that they talk about, especially with the Affordable Care Act, which is under a lot of scrutiny right now, I guess it's going to be going back to court, who knows. I don't know what they're going to do. I think it's all theater. I do. I really think that a lot of it's theater. But
well,
I don't...
You've heard me compare our current group of politicians to professional wrestlers. While you're watching, it's a heck of a show. But in the background, when the show's over, they're all back there patting each other on the back, planning where to go eat, whatever.
Oh, I know. We know that that's the Beltway. We know that that's D.C. It's just, it's awful. And it's a very evil place. One of my friends who, I'm not sure if they're in the chat room because I can't tell who guests are, but she posted on Facebook, and she had the pictures of the obelisks in London and in Vatican and in D.C. And I said, yep, evil times three. That's exactly what we got. It's pretty crazy. So how's things I was listening to on my local radio show the other day, Mike Pence was on, and he was talking to, I don't know if he was Hannity or Slater or somebody, but of course, you know, it must have been Hannity, because Hannity says, he asked him if he was going to run for presidency, and he says, nah, he says, I like being the governor of Indiana. But anyway, so he's done a lot of good things. So
he's well-liked here. The Republicans are well-liked here. But again,
yeah,
we still have the same problems where we have those who are progressive Republicans, and we got to work on getting rid of them.
Oh, I know, the bad guys. Well, it like I said, it's very difficult with the way it's set up right now. And Mikey said, Jesse Ventura said that. I guess he was kind of reiterating what we were talking about with the two-party system. And last week, whether people could hear me or not, I don't know, but I was reading from Washington's farewell address regarding the parties, and he said these two-party systems, or the system of parties, will be a frightful despotism. Washington was not a stupid man. I absolutely love him and Jefferson. But, you know, and there was quite a few others that were amazing that I've read so much about, and even Ben Franklin. We got Ben Rush. We got all these guys who signed the Declaration. I mean, it's the only one that turned out to be kind of a thorn, a huge thorn, would be Alexander Hamilton, because he was all for a not a federalist system, but a national system, and that's what Lincoln wanted, and that's what Henry Clay wanted, and that's what they got. They did it. They corporatized us. So it's not good.
I have a book that was written in 1703. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. And it describes how Christianity was used as the base, it was being used as a basis to form a country.
Cool.
Now,
well, you know,
it's a very hard book to look up and even get. I don't know if you can get a copy of it. But any time I brought it out and talked about it, I have been attacked from the from people on the left trying to claim that Christianity had nothing to do with the founding of this nation. Well, my own ancestors' analogs tell me about George Washington at 16 visiting the Henry Van Meter and farm in the Shenandoah Valley, and Christianity went on. My ancestors translated, printed, and published the first English language Bible. And that gets ignored a lot, that Washington was of Christian belief.
Well, there's several books. There's one. I have it. I have it. Okay, because I was asking Mikey about the Declaration. I don't think Hamilton was one of the writers of the Federalist Papers, because he was pushing for this Constitution. And apparently, because I had listened to Ron talk about this before, about Hamilton's probably thinking to himself, well, if we do this, you know, and even though it's written to supposedly bind the government, the chains of the Constitution, he says this just might work because it's got some wiggle room, and somehow they managed to do it. But yeah, you know, there's a book that I have, and the other one that I sent to Yola, which was sent to me by Rod Luke a long time ago, and it was called America's Providential History, was really, really cool. I recommend that one as well. I have Sacred Fire by Peter Lilback, talking about Washington's entire life from the time he was 4 years old, being read to the by his mother from the Bible. These people were, a lot of them went to seminary. They didn't, after they did their higher education, that's where a lot of it came from. So again, I don't know if, like I said, I didn't know if he signed it. I can probably look it up. I've got the books to look it up, Mikey. We'll check it for next time. But I just want to thank everybody for joining me, and I'm so glad that somehow we got on the air today, and I didn't even have to change my method of putting the chat room together, so, because I thought if I put it into a separate window, maybe it would work. I don't know. You know, God knows. But Doc says, Hamilton was a mess. He wanted a central private bank. Oh, yeah. And Jefferson was adamantly against it, and he fought with him. Oh, tooth and nail on that stuff. George Washington consecrated the country in St. Paul's Church across the street from 9/11. Okay. I got 90 seconds left, Bill. I got to get onto Mikey's shows. Like I said, I had trouble getting into them a couple times, so I will continue to try to get my computer to work better. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Doc for coming in, Mike, Rod, Luke, Yola, Army Girl for Christ. Thanks, Yo. I'm going to do a little bit of song. Thanks, Bill, for being here. Let's see if I can get a little.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do a little Living in America, because that's where we happen to be. I got 60 seconds. God bless you guys, and have a great night. Love all of you. Just keep fighting. Here we go. great evening. Be blessed. See you next week. Love you guys. Good night.